Blog Talk Radio.
That the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I hope you're enjoying the fast. I am. And I know that there are going to be a lot of praise reports as a result of our seeking the Lord for healing. Amen? For those of you who are a little, hadn't quite caught on yet, the fast began yesterday at 12:01 a.m., and it goes continually through Friday at midnight. We are partaking of water, herbal teas, fruit, and vegetables. The scriptures come from two sermons that have already been preached on healing. And Brother Bill, go back through, somebody scroll back through the MIC radio chat notes and tell them the name of those two. I've forgotten at the moment, but I probably can flip back and find out. Anyway, that's where the scriptures come from, two of the recent sermons that I preached on healing. So that's where all the scriptures come for this particular fast. Amen. One of those sermons was He Healed Them All, and the one that came before that was Lord Heal Me. So those are the two sermons that have the scriptures that we're focusing on for this particular fast. Amen? Amen. And as usually, you want me to say them again? Okay, the first one was Lord Heal Me. So when you go into the archive, it's right there on the first page. And the second sermon is He Healed Them All. Amen? In the archive, on the first page. So you go, when you pull up the website, you go to the archive sermons, and on the first page, you'll find those two sermons. Recast them and get all the scriptures if you didn't write them down the first time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Our God is great and greatly to be praised, and He's in the healing business. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I found out talking to people, I guess I've known this for some time, but recently it came to mind a lot about how we have this tendency to lean on medication much, much more than we lean on God. You see, God is the one who created us. He made our bodies. He designed them. He knows how each body is supposed to operate and function. And since He created them, since He made them, seemingly to me, He would know best how to fix them. And He declares that He is the Lord our God who heals us. The scriptures say that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. So our first place to go for healing should always be the Lord. Amen? You know, I remember many, many, many years ago, I was learning this principle, this truth of the Word of God. And I made a decision that if I got a headache, I was not going to rush to the medicine cabinet and get some Tylenol. I wasn't going to do it that way anymore. I was going to do something different. I was going to pray and believe God to heal my headache. And you say, well, that sounds awfully simple, but you have to start somewhere, you see. You can't start out way in the middle of a thing. Start at a beginning. Pick something that you can believe God for. And I could believe God to heal a headache. Amen? So that's how I began. I began believing the Lord to heal a cold, or to heal a runny nose, or a headache. That's where I started. I didn't start where I am now. At that time, I didn't know that where I am now really existed. I'd read it in the Bible, but I had never seen anybody do it. So when I began the beginning, something I could believe God for, healing a headache. So instead of running to get some Tylenol, I would pray instead. And I found out that's the best method to seek the Lord. Amen? He can do what no other power can do. We have to choose to believe Him to do those things. And when we choose to believe him and act as though what he says in the word is really the truth, we have miraculous results. Amen? So if you have not tried that, I encourage you to do so. Now, I want to welcome all of those of you who are new listeners. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you to sign in our MIC radio chat room. And you say, well, where is the chat room? It's located on our webpage. And our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. Miracleinternetchurch.com. And when the page comes up across the banner, you will see the link that says MIC Radio Chat. Click that and go down the left side of the page under the word viewers and click that circular icon that looks like it has a stick in it, and it will allow you to sign in. We just ask that you don't use your email address or your telephone number or your social security number or something like that as a username. So, praise the Lord. Welcome and God bless you. If you're on a cell phone or iPhone or whatever phone you have or whatever device you're using, you can do it too. Pull up miracleinternetchurch.com, and there's three white bars across a black background. Touch that. That's your link, and it opens up all the other links to you. Amen? So we welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen? If you're on a computer, you can open up two windows, MIC Radio Chat, and a second window in Archive Sermons. And when you get to the Archive Sermons part, just go down the page to Upcoming Broadcasts and click that big arrow in the middle of the page, and you can listen through your computer. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're happy to have you, and God bless you. You know, saints, some of us are not necessarily believing just for our own healing. We're believing for someone else's healing, too. Well, that's a good thing. But I want you to keep this in mind. At some point in the process, that person has got to participate to some degree. You know what I'm saying? You can be believing for somebody's healing that's not even a Christian yet. But at some point, not necessarily in the beginning, but at some point, there has to be some kind of acknowledgement that Jesus Christ actually did the healing. Right. They've got to tell him thank you. You can say, well, you know, I've been believing for the Lord to heal you, and I see that you're doing much better. At that point, they need to come in and agree. They need to say, yes, I'm doing much better, and I want to thank you for praying and thank the Lord for healing me. That's what I mean. That's right. At some point, they've got to begin to acknowledge that it's not the medical community that did it. It's actually Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Just wanted to give you that little tidbit. Because I know sometimes we do that. We believe for people's deliverance and for people's healing and for people's this and for people's that. And they're clueless, so we have to inform them. Amen? Well, I prayed and I asked the Lord to help you. I asked the Lord to solve your problem. I asked the Lord to heal you. And I see that he has kept his promise and he's answered my prayer. Amen? Yes, the fast is all day on the 7th until midnight. Yes, it is. It is uninterrupted from Tuesday through all the way through the end of the 7th at midnight is when it ends. That's correct. Amen. So I'm glad I was able to clarify that for you. But as I was saying, at some point, people need to know that Jesus Christ intervened in the normal course of affairs in their life. it should produce some level of gratitude. But don't get discouraged if it doesn't, because the Lord makes the sun and the rain for everybody, even for the unthankful and for the evil people. Yes, there are people that are evil, and there are people that are unthankful. So I want to encourage you to share and to say, because that means you've given the Lord an opportunity to work further with that person. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight, our featured psalm for the worship service is Psalm 107, for those of you who forgot to scroll up. And our verse for meditation comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Our featured ebook is Curses to Blessings, Deliverance Volume 2, Bible Study. Amen? Amen. So, we're getting ready to pray in a minute. But first, saints, this is what I'd like for us to do. I want us to lay aside everything that's happened until now. Everything. Everything that happened all day, all the things that went right, all the things that went okay, and things that didn't go quite the way we had hoped. Everything. Just lay it all aside. Put it away. Outside of your mind, outside of your emotions, outside of everything. We are about to come into the presence of Almighty God. And nothing should interfere with that. That's right. Nothing should be allowed to interfere with that. We are entering into a very holy atmosphere with the Lord, and we want to reverence his presence. That's right. We want to bow our hearts before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to enter into that sanctified area with him where it's him and it's us. That's right. That's where we're going. So, Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, thanking you for being our Heavenly Father, thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for the shedding of his blood, we ask you, Lord, to apply the blood to our lives. We ask you to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. We come before you, Father, thankful, grateful, and praising you for who you really are. You really are God, no matter what other people believe or fail to believe. You're God, and we know that you are, and we honor you as such. We take away from the devil opportunity to interfere with our opportunity to worship you. We thank you for every opportunity to come into your presence. Your presence is holy. Your presence is pure. Your presence is sanctified. It's a place of honor. So we thank you, Lord, for honoring us with your presence, because the Bible says that where two or more of us are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. So we reverence your presence, and we cherish you. We know that you are great, that you have all power, all strength, all might, and all love. You pour your love into our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for that. For without your love, we would only be as the people in the world are. We would be claiming to be yours, but not walking in your strength or your power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that sent Jesus Christ down here to earth to show us how to live for you, to reveal you to us, Father. We wouldn't have known if he hadn't come. Others would have been giving us their version of you, and we would not have had the opportunity to get to know you for ourselves. especially those of us who have never been Jewish. We came in through another door. The door that they closed, you opened to us. So we thank you for that opportunity. And we don't want to take that opportunity for granted. We thank you that we were grafted into the true vine. We thank you that you received us. We thank you that you washed away our sins and that you gave us your grace and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for being our hope and our faith and our peace and our joy. So, Lord, you've come into our midst because you promised that you would. We want to thank you. We honor you. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. We repent of any opportunity that we took to grieve the Holy Spirit. We did something wrong, and we acknowledge it. And we ask for your forgiveness and for your mercy. We know that your compassions are great. And so we thank you for healing us at that place of breach in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you. Yes, we have many faults, sins, iniquities, imperfections, but we are yours. No matter what, we are yours. And we choose to cling to you forever. Help us, Lord, to obey you. Help us to honor you. Help us to love you. Help us to trust you. Help us to reverence you. You are God and God alone, and beside you there is none other. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our helper, our comforter, our teacher, our guide. We thank you to listen to you when you're trying to get our attention. So, Father, we turn our attention to you fully now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire with your glory in the midst, the warring, linking angels, the praising angels, the armor of God, the word of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. And from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we want to thank you for causing us to hear your loving kindness in the morning. We choose to trust you. We ask you to cause us to know the way wherein we should walk, because we lift our soul up to you. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with you, Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them into the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiars, technology devils, leviathans, kundalini, water spirits, marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing devils, womanizing devils, drone devils, whoredom spirits, and all the voices of the stranger and all of their attacks. We bind the hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all mystic rituals and their true intent in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu, Indian, African, European, and Latin American and Caribbean magic and white magic in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide, and we bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air. We return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bind all satanic ritual abuse demons and all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders, and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits and the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves. We bind them all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Mammon and all of his agents, and all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the king of pride, Leviathan, and all of his underlings in Jesus' name. We bind every demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and every temptation to sin. We bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Basilic, Molech, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, Mammon, and Apollyon, and all such demons in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, cold and hot, turn their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind pride and the foolishness of our own opinions. And we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name. According to 2 Thessalonians 1:6, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We bind all electronic and all technology demons, all demons coming off the cellular towers, off the satellites, through the cell phones and through the computers, through every electronic device in Jesus' name. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And we know that nothing by any means will harm us. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. And, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians. We know that though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we pull out every fiery dart, pen, needle, spear, and any form of voodoo sent to us in the name of Jesus Christ. And we cut ourselves free with the sword of the Lord from every ungodly soul tie, attachment, covenant, agreement, and every form of agreement with the demonic realm. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, and sorcerer in Jesus' name and on nanotechnology. We bind and break the power of every curse, hex, vex spell, love spells, charms, sorcery, voodoo, magic, mind control, potions, bewitchments, death and destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, crystals, root works, and every ungodly form of witchcraft that exists. We bind tribal rituals and sins and all occult sins in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your grace, for the strength to fast. We thank you for encouragement through the word of God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, fasting is such a special time between each believer and the Lord. This is a time when we draw close to the Lord and we lay aside activities that draw us away from him. Amen? We give him the time that we would normally have given to some other event, some other occurrence, some other situation, because we want to be with him. Amen? We want to be in his holy presence. We want him to touch our lives. We want him to change us. And it's in these times of praise and worship and adoration and seeking our Lord that the change comes. He brings the change. We've been learning the word. We've been learning to apply the word. We're learning to grow in the word and to trust the word. But our Lord in those times brings the needed change in our life that we've been seeking him for. So do what you can. Yes, everyone has obligations, but do what you can to spend that extra bit of time with the Lord. It goes a long, long way. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to talk about right thought, right spirit. Right thought, right spirit. That's right. Sometimes our thoughts take us away from the Lord. They cause us to focus on maybe what we should not focus on. In focusing on something that maybe we shouldn't focus on, we miss what God is trying to show us, what he's trying to reveal to us, what he's trying to put on display to us, and some of what he's trying to do in us and with us. Amen? So we're going to allow the Lord to help us out tonight. We're going to receive encouragement from the Word of God. Amen? You see, each believer in Christ Jesus will have the opportunity to develop strategies to overcome the onslaught of the enemy in our own lives. The enemy will try continually to move the believer out of faith. That's right. Murmuring and complaining stem from a heart issue of dissatisfaction. That's where it goes. We can choose to believe that the Lord will alleviate the situation in due time, or we will find ourselves embittered in the wrong spirit. Think about that for a moment. Situations come, situations go. Some of them are to our liking, some of them, and others are definitely not to our liking. So we can choose, as we think about these things, to develop a heart of dissatisfaction, a heart of unbelief, angry feelings, hurt feelings, misunderstood, rejection. We can go all those paths. Or we can choose to believe that the Lord himself will alleviate the situation in due time. It's up to us what we choose to think. Amen? We can choose to walk in the right spirit, or we can choose not to. And so tonight, we want you to be encouraged to walk in the right spirit. Amen? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Yes, you're headed to Ephesians. I'm going to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless, pivot point, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I was doing everything I could do, everything I knew to do. I was about to give out. I was about to give up. Unless I had believed to see. Yes, we have to learn to believe to see. Can't just be some conceptual idea off in our minds somewhere. No, we actually have to have heartfelt belief to see God's goodness in the situation in the earth realm. Not in the glorious by and by. No, in the nasty here and now. That's important. That's very, very, very important. Saints, what we believe concerning a matter has much to do with how we manage the issue. If we view a situation as if the outcome is in our best interest, then we will hold a positive viewpoint. If we perceive or believe that the outcome is not desirable, we tend toward a negative view. Both avenues affect our spiritual and physical well-being. Our spiritual and physical well-being is affected by which path we choose. The world uses the term psychosomatic to describe a physical illness or other condition believed to be caused or aggravated by a mental aspect stemming from conflict or stress-related issues. In essence, what the world is saying is what we believe and our viewpoint on what we believe affects our body. And it does. It directly affects our physical body. And so the believer is encouraged to have the right thought and the right spirit, because we all know that the spirit realm bears more force, more power than the natural realm. So it's important for us to keep in line with the right thought and the right spirit, because it affects our mentality and our physicality. And since we're believing the Lord for healing, we need to think about this matter. You see, the past year has been a prominent example of such reaction. If you held fast to the truths of the scriptures, you experience concern for all that was and is happening in our world, but you were not overcome by it. The pandemic did not overcome you. You rose above it. But if you did not, well, it was different for you. Those who opened themselves completely to the world's narrative were devastated, mind controlled, and in dreadful fear. Those who gave in to the world's narrative as opposed to receiving the true word of God that is able to save our souls and deliver us, mind controlled and in dreadful fear. Some would not even go out of their home. They feared so much. You see, the choice remained in the hands of each individual. So it is with much of this life. Your outcome is very, very much dependent on what you choose to believe. You can believe that Jesus Christ is your strong deliverer, regardless of the appearance of facts, or you can believe that whatever is going to happen is going to happen to you. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Well, what does that mean? That means that just like you take your clothes off, you take off your old lifestyle that you used to live before you came into the knowledge of the Word of God. You unzip it, you take it off. This time you let it go in baptism, and you never pick it up again. It's dead to you. It's not yours anymore. Why? Because that old lifestyle, that old mindset, that way of thinking, believing, and behaving is corrupt in deceitful lust. It is corruption. It can't help you in your walk with the Lord. And we are encouraged and commanded to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Renewed, yeah, made new again. Made new again. The spirit that operates in our minds is to be made new again. We get a new spirit in our minds, not that same old mindset we used to have. And that you put on the new man. You know, we have a book, and Brother Bill is going to call New Creation. On the website, if you go to books and ebooks and you scroll through the books, it's called New Creation. And Brother Bill is going to put that link in the chat room for everyone. Put on the new man. What new man? The new man that you've become in Christ Jesus since you've become born again, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, a completely different lifestyle, not at all like who you used to be, with different thoughts, different beliefs, different ways, different speech, different attitudes, different behavior that reflects Jesus Christ. That's what that means. You see, the old man is full of corruption, passions, and desires that are deceitful. Those passions and desires draw you into fellowship with Satan, not Jesus Christ. So, we put that off. It's gone. It's away. And we don't do those things anymore. We don't participate in that spirit in our mind. Romans. Let's visit Romans. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy. That means your body has to be holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is ordinary, commonplace, to be expected for every born-again believer. For you to present your body to God as a sacrifice, but a living one. It is to be holy, which is acceptable to God. This is what's expected of all of us. And we are not to be fashioned according to this world. We are not to be conformed or made into this world's mold. No, we're supposed to be different, completely different from the world. And we are to be transformed. Transformed? Yes. Like a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. Just like that. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. We've all seen that. So how is this going to happen? By the renewal of our minds. You know, that spirit in our minds. It's going to be the new spirit, the right spirit with right thought. Why would we want to do that? So that in our lives we can flesh out and prove and put on display God's will his will that's good, that's acceptable, and perfect. That's why. And when we do, people take notice. And it draws them to Jesus Christ. You see, the Father is drawing people to Jesus Christ. People can't come to God unless they're drawn. So we must pray for people to be drawn to the Lord, that the Father will draw them to the Lord Jesus. They're still presently in bondage to sin. So we have to pray for the Father to move and draw them to the Lord Jesus. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You know, we memorized this scripture several fasts back, I believe. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that would eliminate lies. Whatsoever things are honest, we just talked about that a sermon or so ago. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, that means unclean can't be a part of that. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, we have an alternative. The world does. We can think on these things. We can focus our attention on these very things, you see. Psalm 56. This is one of the things we can think about. Psalm 56, verse 9. Psalm 56, verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. That's one of the things we can think. We can think that when we call out to the Lord, when we cry out to our Heavenly Father, our enemies have to turn back. Why? Because we know that God is on our side, that he is for us. He's not for the enemy. He's for us. Even if no one else is for us, he is for us. And after all, since God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against the king? No one can. Well, you see, saints, sometimes we need to have a serious talk with ourselves. We do. We need to have a face-to-face talk with ourselves. Whatever you call yourself, you need to call yourself by your name and say, I need to have a talk with you right now. The psalmist did this in Psalm 42, verse 11. In Psalm 42, verse 11, that's what the psalmist did. He had a talk with himself. And he said to himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's wrong with you? What are you upset about? What's the problem? Why are you down? Why are you not up praising and thanking the Lord? What's wrong with you? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you upset? Why are you upset, really? Hope thou in God. We need to say that to ourselves, saints. Self, hope in God. Get your eyes off the circumstances which are clouding your ability to see the Lord and put your hope back in God. Self, I'm serious about this. cut it out. Cut out the moping. Cut out the pity party and all of that. And all the negative thoughts and the negative words. Cut it out. Why? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him. I'm going to give him some praise. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise this cloud away. Who is the health of my countenance? My face is not going to look like I sucked on sour lemons. Why? Because God's glory is going to be on my face. He is the glory and the lifter up of my head. And so I'm going to hope in him and I'm going to praise him because he's my God. No matter what is going on, he is my God. Amen? Let's go over to Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119 and verse 59. Psalm 119 and verse 59. This is what the psalmist did. He brought himself into correction. Yes, he did. He brought himself out of the wrong thought pattern and back into the right thoughts with the right spirit. He says, I thought on my way. Time to consider what I had been doing and the outcome that it brought. I made myself look inside and see what I've been doing, what I've really been doing. And I compared it to what the scriptures say. And when I did this, I turned my feet unto God's testimonies. I turned my direction, the way I was walking, into the Word of God. I didn't just keep on going and keep on going as if nothing was really going on or just accepting everything that wasn't going right. No, I stopped. And I took the time to look at my own ways and to evaluate them and to compare them to the Word of God. And once I did, I could see where I was going wrong. And once I could see, I turned my feet into the way that the Word of God says that I should go. I made a change. I made a transformation. Why? Because when I took the time to think on my ways, I allowed the Holy Spirit to come and renew the spirit of my mind to transform me from the way I have been going into what the Word of God says I ought to do. That's what happened. That's how it happened for me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 brings some serious consideration to this situation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. There are some people who just don't want to do spiritual warfare. They don't want to deal with the enemy of their soul. They don't. They want somebody else to do it for them. They don't want to fight the good fight of faith. They want to just show up to church, sit down and listen to sermons, nod their head, but let somebody else do the fighting. They're tired of binding all the time and loosening all the time. and sending devils to the feet of Jesus to be judged. It's just too much. It's just too much. But the Bible commands Christians, believers, born-again persons, born-from-above persons, to actually fight the good fight of faith. That's why we have the armor of God. That's what the sword of the Spirit is for. Why would we want to do this? So that we will be able to take hold on eternal life and hold on. You see, we've been called to this. We began it when we started our profession, when we said, yes, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Be my Lord and personal Savior. I'll follow you all the days of my life. When we stepped into that arena, when we made that good profession before the throne of God, before the angels, in front of the demons and Satan and whoever else was around, that's when we began to take hold on eternal life. But in order to continue and to be successful, you must fight the good fight of faith. You must, or you will be overcome by the enemy. Sometimes we need to grab ourselves by the collar and have some good, strong words of correction for ourselves. Yes, we should. That's something we ought to do. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we get this encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, every single scripture, is given by inspiration of God. As God breathes, it comes to us. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable, profit in the scriptures, for doctrine or teaching, for reproof. That's a good strong rebuke there. For correction. That's what scripture do. They help you to be corrected, to be taught, to be told you're wrong. For correction, this is the right way to do it. And for instruction in righteousness. That's what it's for. That's why we have the Bible. Because we're trying to be transformed. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus Christ. That the man of God may be perfect or adequate and thoroughly furnished into all good works. We want to do the good works that God has foreordained that we do. So we want to go through this process. And we want to do it willingly, too. You see, in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, it says the following about this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See there? There it is again. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts us from what we were to what we ought to be. It converts the soul. It changes the mind. It changes the will. It changes the emotions. It changes our beliefs. The testimony of the Lord is sure, not wavering, not vacillating. No, it's certain. It's unmovable. And it makes wise the simple. Those that don't have wisdom, the law of the Lord gives us wisdom. When we humble ourselves and receive it and accept it. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's right. The statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice our heart. Amen? That's what happens. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. It helps you to see what God's trying to show you. Fear of the Lord is clean. The reverence of God is clean. Clean, not like the world, clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. When God makes a decision, it's right. Know that. You decided to go this way. The Lord says, no, this way. God is right. Anything else is wrong. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold. They're more precious and more important and more valuable than gold ever has been or ever will be. Even fine gold. When you partake of them, they're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Now, I had some honey the other day on can, and that was pretty sweet, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. And one day in the future, I'm going to try that again. But the word of God is better than that. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says in verse 11, by your law, by your testimony, by your statutes, by your commandments, by your judgments, the servant of God, the child of God, is warned. Warning comes. And when I obey them, when I humble myself and adjust myself to them, there's a great reward in doing it. Because who can understand his own errors? It's the way you are. It's the way, you know, you were raised. It's what you're comfortable with. It's your usual and customary. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We've all got them. And guess who it's a secret to? Us. It may not be a secret to our neighbor. Our neighbor might be able to see it. It's not a secret to the Lord, but it's a secret to us. We need to know what our faults are. Why? So that we can come out of them and walk in righteousness, trade Jesus Christ to all. So we ask our Father to keep us back from presumptuous sin.
Presumptuous? Yeah.
Thinking you know the answer and that you got it right and that this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's called I thought. You know, many times I've encouraged us to come out of the world of, well, I thought. That's presumption. I presume that this is this way. No, what I believe is not proven. That's just what I think. That's just what I believe. That's just the way I see it. But we ask the Lord to keep us from doing that. Why? Because it hinders us in our transformation, in having our minds renewed, of going from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Let them not have dominion over me. You know, every time we come up, we pray to the Lord, and we ask the Lord to do something in us, and we ask him to deal with us concerning the pride and foolishness of our own opinion. We do it every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Well, you see, that's what that is. And we're asking the Lord not to allow that to have a reigning power over us. if those things don't take over, then we will come to be upright, and we will be innocent of the from the great transgression. What great transgression? Rebellion and self-will. So we say to the Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation that's in my heart, the thoughts, the beliefs in my heart, the attitudes, the dispositions in my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. I'd rather have this God. That's what we're saying. And we're acknowledging that the Lord is our strength and the one who redeemed us, who bought us back from sin through the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary, the shedding of his innocent blood. That's what we're saying. That's the way that really is. You see? We cannot afford to engage in the wrong thoughts, which are supported by the wrong spirit. It can cause us to lose battles, even in our health. I'll say that again. We cannot afford to engage in the wrong thoughts, which are supported by the wrong spirit. It can cause us to lose battles, even in our health. We must learn to base our attitude and thoughts about a matter on the scripture. Well, you get this diagnosis that you at stage four of whatever. Right then and there, you have to decide which way you're going to go. If you're going to say, well, I'm just going to leave this way, or if you're going to say, I choose to believe God to see his will come to pass. And then if you choose to go the way with the Lord, you must maintain that profession of faith. Amen. That's the way that works. We must receive our mindset from the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us to do. True enough, we grew up basing our thoughts on our feelings about an issue. But that was the old man. We used to, in the old man, base our thoughts on how we felt, on what we had always thought. That's the old man. That's not the new man. The new man bases his thoughts not on feelings, not the way you've always thought, but on the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. No longer a caterpillar, now a butterfly. That's right. Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans, chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, not guessing, not presuming, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. With who? Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We don't owe sin anything. We're not supposed to serve sin. And that old mindset and those old feelings and those old beliefs, we're supposed to let go of that. We're supposed to put that off. You see, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go over this again. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him, who? The Lord, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You heard about him, you've been taught by him, as the truth, not a lie, is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man. That's what we're talking about. He's got to go. He can't come back and say, hey, I'm back. No. See, we already pulled up the doormat. There's nothing welcoming him back. Why? Because he's corrupt. And he can't ever be anything but corrupt. And so we walk into the new life that requires us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, stated this way, Then I say, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of self, the old self. Walk in the spirit, and you not, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, those agitating passions. You won't be yielding to them if you walk in God's spirit. Right thoughts go with the right spirit. Wrong thoughts go with the wrong spirit. Psalm 142 tells us about some things. I cry unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication or specific request. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. And the way wherein I walk privately laid a snare for me. Well, you see, Lord, I came before you and I poured my heart out. I told you all about it. My spirit was just overwhelmed with everything that was going on. And the way I was trying to handle it, they had a snare waiting for me. They were ready to trap me. It was a trap set for me. I looked on my right hand. And looked, and there was no one that would know me. Nobody came close to me to help me with this. I was trying to run someplace for help, but refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Nobody's coming to help me, Lord. So I cried unto thee, O Lord. How did he do that? He said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You're the one that's here for me, Lord. And you're where I run to when I need help. Attend unto my cry. Listen to what I'm saying, Lord, for I am brought very low. And deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. I'm locked in, that I may praise thee. The righteous shall compass me about. The righteous are going to come surround me. Right people, right living, right thoughts, believers, the holy ones of God. For thou shalt deal bountifully with me. But you see, the psalmist had to come to the place where he realized, I'm not making it here. I better do something different from what I've been doing. And so we do need to pull ourselves aside and say, self, you need to reconsider what's been going on here. This psalm tells of an occasion of realization. The writer grabs hold of the truth of the word in the midst of dire circumstances, and his outlook changes. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Verse 7, that I might praise thy name. The righteous are going to show up, and thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You see, once he got hold of the word of God, his outlook changed, and that is critical. That's critical for all of us. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet to show me where I'm standing right now, and a light unto my path to show me where I'm going to end up if I keep walking on this path. The word of God does this for us. Same psalm, verse 9, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How am I going to get this clean heart, these right thoughts, this right spirit? By taking heed according to thy word, doing what the word says to do. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, sheep wander. That's why we have a good shepherd, because sheep have a tendency to wander. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I think the word is so valuable that I put it down in my heart that it might keep me from doing the wrong thing. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statute. Teach me your way. Teach me your word, Lord. You see, God's word brings his spirit on the scene. God's, you know, we've been telling you for the longest, saints, play the word around you. Play the word in your house 24/7. Play it in your car. Play it however you can play it. Just play the word continually. Yeah. God's word brings God's spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says to us, if ye abide in me, if you live in me, and my words abide or live in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God will hear your prayer and will answer. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So a good man has put good treasure in his heart, the word of God, and it brings forth that which is good, good thought, right thought. That's right. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil, wrong thought, wrong spirit. For the abundance of the heart, whatever is flowing in the heart, his mouth is going to speak. That's right. That's the word. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 6. For to be carnally minded, worldly minded, is death. The carnal mind produces death. Death spiritually and death physically too. Carnal mind works in one direction continually toward death. That's the path that the carnal mind takes. Death to opportunities. Death to change that is profitable. That's what the carnal mind does. But to be spiritually minded in Christ Jesus is life and peace. But you see, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's at war with God. It's butting heads with God. It's fighting against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why we have to have this transformation, this renewal of the spirit of our mind. It's necessary. It's important. Negative and carnal thinking is opposed to the life of God in us. It is at war with God. That's what Romans 8:7 tells us. Ephesians. Let's visit the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk as people in the world walk, in the vanity, fruitlessness of their mind. Just whatever thought pops in their head, whatever they heard, you know, here it is, just go with it. That's how a lot of people got tattooed. They were following as other Gentiles walked, just doing whatever the rage was at the moment, whatever the trend is and what's popular and what's this and what's that. They were just flowing with the world because that's where they are in the world, in the vanity of their mind, going nowhere with God, having the understanding darkened. They think they know it all, but they really don't. And being alienated, separated, not a part of, alienated from the life of God. How? Through the ignorance that's in them. They're right there. Through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. We don't live like this anymore once we come to Christ and are more than what the world calls churchgoers. That means you show up to church, you sit there, you hear a sermon, you nod your head, you come out, and you're pretty much the same as you were before you went in. Changing. You're not participating in this metamorphosis. You just got your name on a church roll. You're ignoring the power of the gospel to transform your life. There are people who do that. There are people who do that. I know some of us used to be those persons, but now we live differently. So let's not go back to that program, because that program didn't help. Amen? We heard scriptures. Somebody said a scripture. If we knew what that meant, then your pet understands everything about Jesus. We don't live like that, saints. That's not the faith as it was once delivered to the saints. And worse still, the festering of carnal negative mindsets closed the door to many of God's blessings. 15 and verse 5 tells us that love thinketh no evil. Love doesn't do that. Not God's love in us. It doesn't fester on carnal negative mindset. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the Lord comes to help us see this his way. He says, thus saith the Lord. Okay, God is talking now. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And who maketh flesh his arm means you're leaning on it for full support. The whole of your weight is leaning on man. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Why? Because you're putting all your faith, your confidence, and your trust in the world and its system. There are persons who go to the medical community. I'm going to use this as an example. It's not just the medical community. It could be the financial community. And they put all their faith, trust, hope, and everything in the world and how it handles things and that system. And their hearts depart from God. They're not trusting God. No, they're depending on this thing over here in the world. Well, guess what happens? The Lord says there's a curse that's released on those persons when they do such things. And this is the curse. Verse 6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. My goodness. And shall not see when good cometh. He's going to be withered up, dried up in the desert, and is not going to see when good shows up, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now you think about that scripture when you get some time.
Think about
what God is really saying right there. What is the Lord trying to tell me in this, you say? I've never been in a desert. I don't know. Well, think about it for a moment. You see, when you come to talk to God, you're supposed to use your mind too. It's like saying you're going to be some stunted shrub. No hope for a good future. Barren. And the good things that God has pass you by all the time. And you don't even know that they're passing by. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That's where the blessing is. And whose hope the Lord is. You're depending on the Lord. And you've made the Lord your hope and your confidence. This person is going to be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. And its roots go way, way down in the deep water, and so the heat doesn't bother that tree, and it doesn't care if there's long months of drought. Why? Because its hair is going to stay green. Hair on a tree? Yeah, that's what leaves are. They're the hair on the tree. You got hair on your head, most of you? Well, trees have leaves. Stay green. And they're going to come and have wonderful fruit. That's the difference. There's a curse when you don't trust God. It brings a curse on you. Who wants to be cursed? So Romans 12:2 reminds us that we're not supposed to go with the world's plan. We're not supposed to allow the world to tell us, okay, you got to do it like this and like this and like this because this is how we do it. But instead, we're going to be transformed. Our minds are going to be renewed. And we're going to display in our lives the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. That's what's going to happen with those of us who choose to trust the Lord. You see, saints, we must ask the Lord to wash us until we are clean. Psalm 51 verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Didn't say just wash over me. Didn't say just sprinkle me. It says wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's it. That's it right there. That's what we're looking for. Amen. Clean hearts and clean spirits go together. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, fully persuaded. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the pure water of the Word. Yes, that's what we long for. Clean, whiter than snow. You know, there's a scripture. I won't go there. Let me stay on point or else I'll end up on a rabbit trail. I'm trying to stay off of that. Sometimes we have been so bound in this area of our lives that it takes a while in fastings and prayers and deliverance to break free. That's right. It comes off in layers for real. Amen? It takes a while. Why? Because we've got built up layers of this stuff. Many of us were raised in environments where the Word of God was not fully lived out. So we're like, okay, let's keep going, God. That's right. And even people who were raised that way, some of them don't take to it. They choose to try to be just like the world. and you've seen plenty of that. Nonetheless, the overcomer lives in us as born-again believers, and we too can overcome. There is no failure in our God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God hastens his word to perform it. He performs his word. He doesn't just speak and do nothing like some of us do. When he speaks, he does it. We should be like our Lord. Romans chapter 4. We're going to talk about Abraham for a second because we want to see how to do this. Abraham can help us find out. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Wherefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, we have to give God some faith. We have to give him some trust, some confidence, some believing him, that by his power it comes, by the grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, that's us, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what the Lord promised to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, who raises the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what God does. He's good at it. He says, light be, and we have light. You see, things that are not in existence, he calls them into existence. That's right, he does that. And he's superior at doing it. Things that are not even in existence, he calls them into existence, and they come into existence. So Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, according to what God said, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, all right, saints, right there, some of us need stronger faith. He was not weak in faith because he didn't look at his natural circumstances or the facts and determine, well, this is how this looks, so this is how this is going to be. This is the way it's always been, so it's always going to continue just like this. No, he didn't do that. No, he took that other path. He considered not his own body now dead. That meant he and Sarah weren't getting it on anymore. When he was about 100 years old, wow. No, he did not go to the drugstore to see if he could get some Viagra, some Levitra, some Cialis, or anything else. He didn't go to get any injections or any of that other stuff. He just didn't do that. He was 100 years old. Neither did he give too much consideration. He said he didn't consider his own. He didn't pay that any mind. He set it aside. He also set aside the fact that that Sarah's womb was dead. It wasn't bringing nothing. He staggered not. See, he didn't stagger. That means he didn't go to and fro. He didn't waver. He didn't vacillate. He wasn't double-minded. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Well, you know, I believe it 1 minute, but I don't the next. He cut that out. Uh-uh. That was it. But was strong in faith, and he gave glory to God. How did he do this? Because he was fully persuaded. That's how. That what God has promised, he was able also to perform. He said, since God's promised this to me, he's able to bring it on. He can do it. He's got the power. But most of us don't go through the being fully persuaded. But we can if we choose to. And as a result of that, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right with God. Right thoughts, right spirit. That's right. That's how it happens. And if he can do it, we can do it. Sad, unscriptural, and negative attitudes weaken our faith and open the door for discouragement. There are times, saints, when venting is not good for us. By now, we understand that if the angels cannot use our words to agree with the plan of God, then the demons will use these same words against us. So during this fast, we are asking and seeking the Lord to uncover and to help each of us to recognize the thoughts of the devil that are being used against us. Why are we doing this, you say? So that we can more effectively resist them. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 16, Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 16. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree. Remember, we had corruption at one time? A corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So if we're that good tree that's planted by the rivers of water, we can't keep upchucking evil thought, negative thought, unscriptural thought. Neither can corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Right thoughts, right spirit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, what happens to it? It's hewn down and cast into the fire. That's right. It goes into the fiery pit. You don't want to be that tree. Wherefore, by their fruit shall ye know them. Our thoughts have production. It brings forth some kind of fruit. Bring fruit. So, saints, let's bear good fruit. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I'm going to declare God's work. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to put my trust in him. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's right. Out of it are the issues of life. That's something to ponder. That's something to meditate on. Well, David had an opportunity to make a choice, to have right thought, right spirit, or not. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, we found out what he did. It reads this way, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, pivot point, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Saints, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. David encouraged himself. He spoke to himself. He got himself by the collar and sat himself down and spoke to himself what the Bible, what the scripture said. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And saints, so should we all. Amen? So should we all. That's what ought to happen. That's what ought to happen. That's how you have right thought and the right spirit. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. So, you know, it's good to hear a sermon, but what are you going to do with what you heard? What are you going to do with what you heard? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Bill, do you have any testimonies for us?
Oh, my Pastor Sabrina. Ready?
Yes,
praise
I am.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My favorite one is from NK. She says, praise the Lord, this prayer worked, Brother Bill, the marriage prayer. In Jesus' name, I bind all spirits of Asmodeus, Osmodeus, Apollyon, Abaddon, psychic prayers, and Beelzebub attacking our marriage. I plead the blood of Jesus over my marriage. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. The saints are catching on. Praise you, Lord. N.K. also says, praise and thank you, God, for teaching me to hear his voice without fear and doubting. Thanks to you, Dr. Sabrina and Brother Bill, for being God's instruments to help me in this way. We praise you for that, Lord. We just praise you. Amy has a praise report. Thank you, Lord, for this church and its godly led leadership. And thank you for placing me over here. I just want to give you all the praise and glory and honor. And thank you, Lord, for the spiritual growth and blessings and corrections. Well, saints, that word does cut down into you pretty hard sometimes. You just got to let the Lord correct you. We don't want to be bastards. We want to receive his correction and move on it. Just, we just praise you. praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, whenever you correct us. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. It always brings good. Jill has a praise report. A very bad weather storm came into her area with hail the size of golf balls. And you know what? She put a prayer request in the prayer room, started praying, asked the Lord for send somebody up there to pray with her. And the Lord sent NK up there, and they prayed in agreement, and nothing happened to her. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, that you give us authority over the weather. The name of Jesus is stronger than the weather and stronger than any animal or anything else going on. I just praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lena has a praise report. This morning I had met a lady, and I don't know from where, and I was greeting her in a good mood, just saying Jesus loves you, and from her lip come the word of God. God loves you, and he will provide for you. Thank you, Lord. This was confirmation for what I've been praying for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He always will send someone to talk to us. Thank you, Lord, for that, or he'll confirm it in his word. We just praise you how you do that, Lord Jesus. And Dina has a praise report. Well, thank you, Lord, for the recast of Psychic Ability Talk, because I was reminded of a magic 8-ball I had as a toy, and I repented of that, and some paper fortune tellers that made in school, and I was able to repent of all that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Dana has a praise report. My aunt's goddaughter owed me some money, and instead of bugging her, I just started praying, and she decided to mail the check. Praise you for that, Lord. It's amazing when Jesus starts bugging them. You don't have to do it. He will. Amori has a praise report. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to participate in a virtual college fair. It was such a blessing to see the various schools. Praise you for that, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you. Amy has a praise report. I want to give God glory for helping me to take authority over certain situations in my house that would occur daily. The dogs are no longer tearing up the room, and the toilet's not clogging up all the time. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. See, he cares about every little thing if you'll just pray about it. And put your prayer request in the prayer room, saints, and the prayer warriors will come up and pray with you. Deborah has a praise report. My husband apologized for repentance and turning from his old way, but apology's a big one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's a start. Thank you, Lord, for that. Gladys has a praise report. She went to her daughter's wedding, and it was just full of love and joy and happiness. She just wants to praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Rahil has another praise report. Praise report. I got prayer because it looked like I would not be able to have good enough grades to pass and at the internship, and thank you, God, I did pass my master, and I just praise you, Lord. And ever since I got the prayer about the weight, I have been able to watch what I eat. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord, that you're changing us. You're helping us. Dina has a praise report. I like this one. I got an unexpected check for $492. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. Praise you, Lord. NK says, praise this morning. I put in a prayer request asking God to confirm or correct exactly what I thought I should be fasting for, and he has confirmed it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for him. Praise report. The mail package from the government agency we prayed for arrived this week in the mail. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. See, he'll even take care of lost packages, and we take authority over every lost package in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we ask you to send an angel to bring them and put them right
Amen.
Where they belong.
Amen. Amen. Because they lost my package at the post office. Amen.
Yes. Yes, Lord, please send that angel to bring that package. Amen. I thought you'd like that. Here's one you're really going to love. Ariana, this evening we received a letter stating that I was one of the top 12 students, and I'm receiving an academic award. Praise you for that, Lord.
Yay!
Praise you. Thank, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm about to cry. I'm just so happy. Ciro Doria, I think I said it right. Forgive me if I didn't. Says, praise. A couple weeks ago, I placed a prayer request in here for my daughter's friend. She had a severe case of COVID, and I learned that she's out of danger, and she's doing good. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, praise you, praise you. MM has a praise report. I'm thanking the Lord for the breakthrough this past Saturday afternoon. I had a cold and flu symptoms, aches and pains for past couple weeks, and I'm back to health and practicing my discipline with water intake and regular meals. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. KK has a praise report. Has been a blessing and multiplying the opportunity I was given at work 1 month ago. Unexpected situations and benefit occur, and God deserves all the glory. Bless KK. The Lord is blessing you. And we have a praise report through my witness, Jesus' peace and trust. And truth, a client who had been avoiding his financial responsibility with my employer confessed his wrongs, and the relationship, which was going to be cut off, was restored. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. You are a way maker. We praise you for that. Trish has a praise report during Sunday service on 5-2. Pastor prayed for healing, and I prayed along. I placed my hands on my leg. The issue I'd been having since Friday was gone. Every praise belongs to you, Lord Jesus. Every praise, every praise. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. In cases, praise Jesus for Pastor Sabrina's maturity and the arrested development prayer. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's giving us understanding and light. And AK, he has an awesome praise report. At tennis today, I was not a victim to the enemies, but instead, I was strong and kept my peace. And thank you, Lord, for that. And AK has also been learning the book of Romans. And praise you for that, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We just want to thank AK for memorizing the word. And praise you, Lord, for that. That's awesome. You're teaching AK. Thank you, Lord. Amy has a praise report from other sermons that Pastor Sabrina has given on tithes and handling tithes and handling our money. The Holy Spirit convicted me. Ever since I have drastically changed my spending ways, I have praise for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us when we do it your way. Sharon, praise God. I just got a $3,000 emergency room statement, and in big bold letters it said, this is not a bill. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. 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 AK. As a praise report, this fast has been the most successful one I've ever had. I've been praying much more than I usually do and having great results in my life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And we have another praise report. The past blood of Jesus over my little dog. You go. We have a praise report from Lena. The past week ago, I began to meditate on the word about Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Yesterday morning, the Holy Ghost told me we have to forgive no matter what. Without it, we cannot live with the Lord. We just praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and I can't wait to see the rest of the praise reports come Friday. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now back to you, Pastor Sabrina.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of the beautiful, wonderful, special, holy, great testimonies. Amen. Amen. Even from the testimonies we haven't heard yet that are still going on, we just want to thank and give the Lord great praise. Amen. because God is really moving among his people, you know? Yes, he is. He is actually moving. And I just want to say something, you know, about the sermon. I was talking to someone today, and I was talking to them about their childhood. And so I said to this lady, I said, well, why did, you know, what happened with you in this particular circumstance? She said, well, when I was little, they put me in ballet, and I was taking ballet lessons, but I did not continue. I said, well, why not? She said, I didn't feel like I fit in. I said, well, why not? Because I was taller than all the other girls. And I said, well, they like tall ballerinas. That's the rage. Well, I know, but at the time I was taller than all the other kids, so I just didn't feel like I felt fit in. Okay. Now, I want to tell you about another young lady, and presently she's in high school. She went to a recital with me one day, and she saw all the little girls in their little tutus, you know. And she was immediately impressed. She watched them go up to the stage, and it was a big stage, and do their little number and their performance. And when it was over, she told her mother, Mom, I want to dance. I want to dance, Mom. And she would not stop. So her parents put her in ballet. And as it would be, she was taller than all the other little girls in her age group. She was the tallest one. She loomed over them just like she was a giraffe. But she decided that she was going to dance. And being tall did not keep her from feeling like she was a part of the group. Why? Because they were all learning to dance. So you see, saints, I said all of that to say this. You can be in the exact same circumstances as someone else, and they can decide to walk in wrong thoughts and the wrong spirit, and you can decide to take the right thoughts with the right spirit. Well, you say, what happened to the lady that when she was a little girl decided not to continue? Well, that behavior continued on into other organizations and other groups that she was trying to work with or that her parents put her into as well. It went from ballerina to the next place. She told me so. And the next thing didn't work out. Well, what happened to the young lady that decided to take ballet lessons and continue on? Well, a couple of years ago, she was in a contest. It was one of those queen of something in the school. You know how that is. And she won. She wore her ballet slippers and her white outfit, and she was absolutely marvelous. In fact, the people in this city that are over that are very prominent in that area with ballet and dance and performance came up to her parents and said, you ought to do thus and so and thus and so with your daughter. She has great potential. So you see the difference? Right thoughts bring the right spirit and open God's opportunities for us. Wrong thoughts bring the wrong spirit, and they shut the door to many of God's blessings. I thought I would share that with you. I want you to know that that is real, and it's our choice. Nobody can make us make the right choice. It's up to us. You remember that old saying about you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink? Well, it's the truth when it comes to people. We can tell you about the Word of God. We can open the pages and we can discover how other people responded and what happened to them and the choices they made and the outcome they got. But it's up to you. It's up to you to take all of that information and to make your choice to the water of the Word, but we can't make you drink it. And we can't make you be refreshed unless you partake of it. Amen? Amen. It's so. It's a real world with real choices, real decisions, and a real God. And you have to decide if you're going to be fully persuaded or not. You have to make that choice. You have to decide if you're going to believe the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Nobody can do that for you. And no one is supposed to do it for you. You see, when the chick is in the eggshell, he has to peck his way out. And if something comes alongside and interrupts that process and he's out without having pecked his way out, then he's not as strong as the little chick that pecked his way out of that circumstance and came out. So, I suppose you understand the point that I'm getting to. You heard the word. You're on the fast. You're seeking the Lord. There are choices before you. There are options and opportunities. You must make the choice. We're rooting for you. We're praying for you. We're fasting for you. We're believing for you. But you've got to do your part too. Amen? Amen. And the Lord is rooting for you too. Yes, he is. He wants you to cross the finish line in life. And he wants you to succeed. Amen. See, God is on your side. God is on your side. Amen. We want you to always remember that. That no matter what befalls you in this life, God is on your side. Amen? Well, tonight, we're going to pray. And when Brother Marshall comes, he's going to cover some specific subjects in prayer tonight. And we want you to be in agreement with the prayers. He's going to pray about the continued uncovering of wickedness in the world. He's going to pray for parents. He's going to pray for students. He's going to pray about the various strains of COVID that are going on and all of this COVID shedding where people that have taken the vaccination are shedding and people that are unvaccinated are getting sick. Yes, he's going to pray about that. He's going to pray about binding the wicked plots that are against the righteous. You know, there's great opposition everywhere against righteous people and righteous endeavor. In all fields of life, there's a lot of that going on. And he's going to pray about those subjects tonight. So we want you to be ready to be in agreement. Amen. We all want to be in agreement because the blessing comes when we're in unity. So we want to all have the right thoughts, the right spirit, and be in agreement. And we want to spend a few minutes praying in the spirit together tonight. We want to spend a few minutes praying in the spirit together tonight. So let's begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, we offer our hearts and our spirits and our prayers before you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we push back against the enemy in Jesus' name. Riki burro sotora breki asha terabrese terabri. Ki rishi de la manosa ta reke si. Re le 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 asandoro bro sotoro breki di. Rusha terabrese terabri. Risa terabri sotoro breki. Every place where we've been hindered in our health, we bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Riki ka ruko so rike terabrese terabroko teribrise. Rusa la le asa rugutoro breke de rakakako. Rusa la re dio sotto robrese de la deria stata la brocca le riende rige che shatarro con le lete da maracu rocusa tarabrisa taramaracu tarracatarabris. Every place that we've been attacked in our health, we return the attack to the sender in Jesus' name. Raka shanda la brocca anda ricchi si di rusha tarabris. Erro la deria stata la brica de re dio sotto robrese. Carra cascia ta ruco son de brica de di onda la brocca. Curro cotto robrese de dio sotto robrese tara brica de lidianta la brocca de libra. Yerro cotto robrese tara brocca le dio sotto de brica de dio sotto la brei. Rise de roca ha shanda la brocca de righi si de la brese de idiota. Rumba baba shanda rugo sotto rugo tara brese te. Rile de riasta tara manesha tara brocca le dio sotto robrese. Ir riuscite la brocca de la bricket, bricket name. Ruka terabrisha de rakaha baba babasa terabrika de ridia. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. Erugasa terabri. Irusula de diosu terabrisha de ridia. Runga terabrisha de diosu terabrika de diosu terabri. Carro gosha terabrisa terabrika. Break it, break it in the name of Jesus. Risa terabrika de diosu terabri. Le de diosu ta. Runga terabrika de ridia. Carro koho rekia terabri. Rika satarabresha de dioso torobraka satarabresa terede. Every place we've been injured, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind you, Riki sinderabreke de dioso torobre. Risatarabruko torobresha de diasahara gaga gosha. Rike sideramruka da rike le diasandrabre. Rinda da masha da rokoshon da rokohota. Rinda de desetarabreke de dioso toriki siderabre. Risa la le dioso roka. And we loose the peace and healing of God, the peace and the healing from the blood stripes of Jesus Christ. Brother Marshall, would you join us, please?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful, extraordinary, amazing, unspeakable gift of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father. He withheld not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Hashem, also with him, also freely give us all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, saying, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The last verse of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we thank you that you can't lie. You not only speak the words your Father's giving you to speak, you are God the Word. You're from everlasting, and you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth is going to be changed like people change their clothes. But you are the same, and you're completely 100% dependable. Help us, Lord. And in agreement with Sabrina's prayer about her sermon, about her sharing of the word today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, and in agreement, we all pray in agreement according to Matthew 18:19, but we pray according to Luke 10:19. You said, behold, Jesus says, behold, I give unto you saints power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So he doesn't want us to focus on the little demons, little snakes under feet. No, he wants us to focus on the fact that Jesus is looking at us, and he loves us, and he said, I'm with you always, and together with God, nothing shall be impossible. So Jesus said that, and he promised that as we repented, renounced of our sins, asked Jesus to come live in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we thank you, Father God, for that anointing that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy. We give you praise and honor and glory according to Isaiah 10:27, and also 2 Corinthians 1, around verse 22, somewhere in there. We thank you for that anointing, Father, that removes the yoke of the enemy. And no ungodly spirit may snatch away a single word of the true and living God any of us have ever heard, ever will hear it, and all those who have been interceding for, all of our family members, all those who have been interceding for, even those railing against the members of the body of Christ that think they have it all figured out, that have not yet learned that Jesus really is Lord of all. But that no ungodly spirit may snatch away a single word of the true and living God from any one of our hearts and minds in Jesus. And no ungodly spirit may interfere with a single word of the true and living God from coming into all of our hearts and minds with clarity, easily understood in Jesus' name. And no ungodly spirit will interfere with a single word of the true and living God from being expressed forth from each and every saint clearly, exactly the way the way the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth wants, verbally and or non-verbally, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. And the Lord showed me something in a different way. I've never seen it that way before. Just the other day, Jesus says in Luke 10:16, he that heareth you, heareth me. And I had a sister in the home church I was in once said she heard the Lord speaking to her, but it sounded like my voice, but it was the Word of God. So he uses Sabrina's voice and Bill's voice and the voice of each and every one of the global prayer warriors to reach those he's sending us to. And he's speaking through us. He that heareth you, heareth Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word, Lord. And you tell us that you love us with an everlasting love, and perfect love casts out all fear. So, Father, we thank you, Father, that you're in charge. You've given Jesus all power in heaven and earth, just like it says in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus, Lord of all, as it is written in several places, including not only Revelation 17:14, Revelation 19:16. And Jesus says in Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither is anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. So everything that the Lord wants to be brought out into the light, because the light is what you know, when people walk into a dark room in the natural and they flip a light switch, or have in England they call it a torch or a flashlight or even a candle. If you go in, that's the light, and it dispels the darkness. And we are little lights in this world because the big light lives in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we thank you, Lord, that as your light is in our hearts, because we don't have to believe just in our heads. It may start there, but we believe in our hearts, because you said if we believe in our heart, Father, you've raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and confess with our mouth that you've raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it says we're going to be saved. We're going to be sozo. We're going to be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. In Romans 10:9, I believe it is, in Jesus' name. So we thank you for fully delivering us, Lord, because that's part of the plan. That's your plan. And you said in Daniel 2:47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, remember, that your God, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets. Seems that could reveal this secret. So we thank you for revealing all the secrets, Father. We ask you to do so. We're asking in agreement according to Matthew 18:19. As we come before your throne of grace to say thank you. Thank you for not telling Jesus, oh, it's okay. You don't have to die on the cross for Marshall because his sins are so wicked that your blood couldn't possibly cover them all. No, his blood can cover all of our sins. Even my sins, all of our sins, it can wash them away. The spirits of selfishness and all those things, the spirits of lying in the past that keep us out of heaven, all those things. We thank you, Jesus, for that perfect love. And thank you, Lord, you render unto man your righteousness, like it says in Job 33:26. We thank you for that righteousness that delivers from death. And we thank you for delivering us all from every plan and wile and scheme of the enemy, including those in the global elite, the 3,000 people or whatever they are. There used to be a group of 300, but apparently about 3,000 people, not just the Rothschilds and the Bill Gates and those kind of people. Those are the people that are pulling the strings connected with the central banks and all that. They're trying to control all the little serfs, the little peons like me. That's what they consider us to be, like little dogs. Not worthy of hardly even noticing them. But that's not how the Lord sees us. No, he doesn't see us. He sees us as more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us because he's in us. And of the fullness of the gospel, we've all received in grace for grace. So we thank you, Father, for uncovering the wickedness worldwide, all over the earth, Father, in Jesus' name, not just in the United States. No, not just in China, not just in North Korea, every nation, every area, not just in the central banks, not just in the corporations, and we thank you for doing so. And in Jesus' name, all witchcraft curses stand against each and every member of the body of Christ, all of our family members, all those we have in our intercession for coming into the body of Christ. All witchcraft curses are returned on the heads of the spirits of sin, and do those spirits what they intended to do to us in Jesus' name, the name above all names, because of the blood of the covenant. And we're in agreement in Jesus' name, according to Matthew 18:19. And Jesus also says in John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, because of the blood of the covenant, as we walk, as Jesus walked, walking in love, walking in the Spirit. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he cannot lie. Now, sometimes you have need of patience to inherit the promises, but they're coming. Because he says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I, God, I, Jesus, have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, all of our souls. All the family members of every believer, you set a lamb for house, and Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, the blood of Jesus. We put that blood of Jesus over every door, every window, every access to each of us, every electronic access, every computer screen, TV screen, every type of phone, every type of wireless phone, corded phone, every type of electronic device, all spiritual contacts, even just accidentally brushing against somebody. We cancel all their assignments to each and every one of us, every ungodly spirit. We speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy, muteness to the mouths of the enemy, and they may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear, pertain to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who's purchased each and every one of us with his own blood. Yes, he did. We are redeemed, purchased back from the devil. We don't belong to the devil anymore. We belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for giving us your complete confidence. Because you're with us, because we can't do it. Pat, Holiday and Sabrina, Brother Bill, I'm sure they all agree that we can't do anything. Because it's in the Word of God, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but we're not apart from you. No, you're the vine, and we're the branches. We're connected. We're grafted in. And we thank you for the awesome privilege of being grafted in, to receive that flow as trees of righteousness, the flow of your life, that sap, and the pouring forth of your spirit. We thank you for that anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, for all the parents and all the students in Jesus' name. Help us all. How to pray and what to do. And I thank you for the testimony from AK this evening. It was awesome. It was wonderful. And I thank you, Father God, for the younger people that are keeping themselves to be used of the Lord for his purposes. They're not just yielding to any old thought that comes along. And thank you for helping us all to hold every thought captive. As I continue to commit my works unto you, Lord, that my thoughts may be established. We all commit our works unto you, Lord, that our thoughts may be established. We bind every spirit of thinking, including every spirit of rebellion and every spirit of, well, I thought, like Sabrina likes to put it, but we're not going to do what our thought. We want to do what God thinks. Help us all to be willing and obedient. We may eat the good of the land. And you said in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. It's your parents that are in the Lord. If your parents that are selling dope or something, I'm not saying anybody, people that are listening today, but there may be some that have done things that don't quite line up with what the Lord wants, and they have parents that tell them, hey, you go out and you panhandle, you do this. No, if we have to be obedient to the parents that are doing what God wants, you know, according to his will, and we have to have a clue what that is, that helps. And it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I know this is tomorrow. I always like to refer to this because there's a blessing there. And it's a guarantee that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's an absolute guarantee. I think it's Exodus 20 around verse 12. There's a guarantee in the Ten Commandments, and that's still going on today, that if we're obedient and we're not talking back to our parents, may need to put a little zip our lips sometimes. We may not always agree with our parents, especially when we're going through the teenage years. But that's okay. We're learning. We're all learning, aren't we? I'm still a child. I'm still just learning. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Lord, help all of us as parents to bring up, and all the parents not just those involved with Miracle Internet Church or Miracle Outreach Ministries, all the parents all over the earth, especially those that have some idea about the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jew and Gentile alike, and those that think they're worshiping the God of Abraham as in Islam, but they haven't quite found out yet who that really is. Father God, help all the parents to do what you want them to do under the unction of your Spirit. We ask you to pour forth of your Spirit, because these are the last days, and you said, last days I pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions on my handmaids and my servants. And those days will I pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. We ask you to pour forth of your Spirit. You said, ask, and you shall receive. You said, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. You said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Jesus, you are the door. And we thank you for opening the door of faith, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. We thank you for the door of faith. We thank you for opening that door of faith, increasing faith, increasing faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we thank you for that, Father. We give you praise and honor and glory. Help the parents and the students, and we're all students. You don't have grandchildren, Lord. You don't even have, we're all your children. And so you're teaching me, just like you're teaching my grandson. Oh, and I really appreciated MM's prayer for her nephew. Inspired me to pray for my nephews and my niece, and I thank you for that, MM, and I pray for all of our family members that we'll all be hearing from the Lord, because Jesus can't lie. In John 10:27, says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not heed, it says early on in Matthew chapter 10. And then that verse 28, I forget, it was NK or something, maybe it was Trish, somebody had that in the Global Prayer Room. I just recently had my eyes like opened to that verse like I never read it before. How many times have I read it, looked at it, heard it? Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I think that's worth reading again. See, the guys need to hear it twice, but maybe the girls get it right away. Matthew 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Your hand's not too short to save, praise the Lord. We thank you for saving all the students as well as the parents, Lord, and instructing us in the way we should go in Jesus' name. We ask you to deliver us from all these various strains of COVID and all the manifestations of it, Father, in Jesus' name, and all the side effects of the vaccine, so-called, it's not really a vaccine, the mRNA gene-altering substance, the so-called COVID jab with the various types, and many people, oh Lord, many people, even those well-intentioned people, I believe some of them are quite well-intentioned. I was in the medical community for many years, working in the hospital, working in the ER, many years working in dialysis, many, all those years working in different areas, Father, in Jesus, and working in the ambulance. And I'm quite sure most of the people that get into that, they want to do that to help people. So, Father, we ask you, Father, to uncover the misinformation and the global agenda of those to cover up what's really going on in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for the promises that you give us in your word in Jesus' name. Because you said, as believers in the Lord Jesus, and we're all not just casual believers, as Sabrina referred to, somebody just goes to, like, punch a clock to go to a church meeting and then walk out and not think about it again. Now, I didn't know that stuff about Luke 10:19-20, and we could command the enemy not to steal the word of God from our hearts. I didn't know that till, well, I don't know how many, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, whenever it was. I heard a preacher talk that, and I was like, that's right, our battle's not against flesh and blood. They're demons, and they're coming to snatch the word of God. It's in several of the Gospels, right? It is. It's in Matthew 13. It's in, what is that, in Luke, was it 4, or in Mark 8, somewhere, something like, or maybe it's the other way around. I think it might be Mark 4. Mark's a really short one. Help me to stay on track, Lord. No gravity trails. Help me, Lord. You tell us in the end of the Gospel of Mark, you said, starting verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news to every creature. Every creature, that's what you said. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, you mean there's a way to heaven and there's a way to not make heaven? That's what it says in Mark 16:16. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. We believe in your name. That's where we have communion, as often as the Lord inspires us to do so. In my name, written in blood, the blood of the living God, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We thank you for the guaranteed promises for the believing believers, Lord, in Jesus' name. And how do we become believing believers? We just keep hearing your word. And we keep hearing true testimonies about people who, hey, they've done this before. And it's in the Bible. Lots of them in the Bible. Not just the Peter and the Paul. They're everyday believers in the Bible. And we thank you for that little promise for those of us who are looking for healing in your word, Lord. For everyday believers, we mean it wasn't just Paul and it wasn't just Timothy or whatever. No, everyday believers in Mark 6. 12 and 13, if anybody happens to be brushed up against somebody who had COVID or the COVID vaccine, we're not going to be worried about that. We bind every spirit of fear. We bind every spirit of kind of from that spike protein. We cancel their assignment to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Because no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We think it's not our righteousness. It's your righteousness. Because you loved us and washed us from our sins in your own blood. It's not the blood of sheep. You're the perfect Lamb of God. It's not the blood of things that people have sacrificed like they did in Israel. It's not the blood of regular human beings. It's the blood of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because it's the sinless, perfect, holy blood, the sinless blood. In Matthew, where is that, Lord? Matthew 27:4. That's what even Judas Iscariot said. I betrayed the innocent blood. And that's what makes us innocent, just as if we never sinned because of that blood. And you said in Mark 6:12-13, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Hey, step one, repent. Step two, and verse 13, Mark 6:13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So if anybody around us and the family members have decided to go get the COVID jab, we thank you for giving us the ability to not be worried. And we don't rush out and lay hands on people unless the Lord tells us to, because we know there's a transference of spirits, unless we're ready. Kind of, so we have to be absolutely ready, and only if the Lord tells us to do that. But we can certainly pray for them. And there's certainly that anointing that represented by the oil, representing the Holy Ghost, because that's who does it. The Holy Ghost is the one who heals. The Holy Ghost is the one who keeps us healthy. The Holy Ghost is the one who's changing us all from glory to glory. As we're looking into the eyes of the Lord Jesus, from glory to glory, we are being changed. And we thank you, Father God, that you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has all power in heaven and earth, says unto us, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, not only in Mark 16:19, but not Mark, Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18, in agreement. We bind Satan, the strong man, all his underlings. We bind every spirit of mind blinding, every spirit of deception, every spirit of love of this world, all spirits of rebellion, every unclean spirit, every spirit of greed, covetousness, and every spirit of looking for power to overcome other people, which is just what witchcraft is, and that's what is involved with this whole so-called Agenda 2030 and the so-called global reset and all this nonsense. Father God, we thank you for raising us up together with Christ Jesus. We're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. We're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. That's the only way any of us become righteous. Of course, we have repented. We don't go back to what we used to do. Marshall used to lie. Marshall doesn't lie anymore, unless. I don't lie. I just zip the lip if I can't say the truth, right? Every ungodly spirit is bound in Jesus' name. You, Satan, all your underlings are bound. Every ungodly spirit is bound, not just Beelzebub. Every ungodly spirit, Leviathan, Kundalini, all heads and tails cut off. And we cancel assignments to all those we've interceded for, including those railing against any member of the body of Christ and those trying to take over the world for the fascist type of agenda or a communist type of agenda to get rid of Christianity. We bind every one of those spirits, including those railing and raging through the government in Canada as well as in the upper levels of the federal government, of the so-called Biden regime, whatever that is, in Jesus' name. We bind every one of those spirits associated with the kind of so-called Green New Deal and all the rest of it to just try to control people against their will. Kind of typical. We bind all the wicked plots against the righteous in Jesus' name. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You, Satan, are bound, and all your underlings, named and not named, are bound and remain perpetually bound. In Jesus' name, we command there be no further flow of power communication from the demons in the second heavens, in the bush, in the deep, to all those who have interceded for, including all the various heads of various countries in the local municipalities and local areas, including every state, every commonwealth, including the governor of not just California and Michigan and Pennsylvania, all the governors that were involved in doing things that, and New York State, and all those governors that were involved in doing things that were not pleasing to the Lord. And Father, we pray for those who despitefully use us. Satan, you remain bound, or your underlings remain bound in Jesus' name. We cut off every assignment of the enemy to steal, kill, and or destroy, coming against all those we have, are, and will intercede for, including all the family members of every believer, all the friends of every believer, the neighbors of every believer, and all the co-workers of every believer, all those that are and coming into the body of Christ, and all the children, their children believers, their children of the unbelievers, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. But then you care for the orphans, you care for everyone. We cast your assignments to all those who's ever called for help and ever will call for help, not just the girls who are taken captive in Nigeria, all those struggling in any way, stating your demonic assignments to steal, kill, and or destroy, coming against those standing for the truth, those who have not yet accepted Jesus, but all those standing for the truth, not just the Linwood and the Sidney Powell, all those standing for the truth, every one of your demonic assignments to smear and to speak lies about the recounts of the elections, all those, not just in Arizona and other states, Pennsylvania, wherever they're doing recounts, in Michigan, we're going to do recounts. Recounts your assignments to speak lies in Jesus' name. We put gags in the mouth of every ungodly spirit. You may no longer speak lies through the mainstream media in Jesus' name. We gag every one of your mouths in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for Project Veritas, Skeptic, and Satan, every foul spirit, continually bound and gagged. We thank you for the people uncovering what's been done and that they've been trying to do through out-and-out mind control from places like some of the mainstream media sources like CNN. We thank you for the bringing these things to light, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for even hastening your word to perform. And as Sabrina reminded us of that scripture in Jeremiah 1:12, we give you praise for hastening your word to perform. You see, your word runneth very swiftly. And nothing's hid from the heat of it, like it says in Psalm 19. The heat of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He knows everything that everybody's thinking. He knows how many hairs are on their heads. He knows what everybody's thinking when they're awake, when they're asleep. The believers and the unbelievers, and he knows what he's going to do, and we thank you for uncovering what needs to be uncovered and dealing with it appropriately, Lord, in Jesus' name. Satan, you remain bound, or your underlings remain bound, in Jesus' name. And I'm turning to Psalm 17, as the Holy Spirit is reminding me to go look in that psalm. Okay, Holy Spirit. And he says, starting verse 13, arise, O Lord, disappoint them, those that are speaking lies and deception. Cast them down. Deliver my soul and the soul of every believer from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children. They live the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. We thank you, Father God. God, I'll say that's Psalm 17 and also Psalm 10. That's really kind of a sort of what I guess that I would go to say. I'm going to read that first. It says the heathen are sunk down in Psalm 9, verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid as their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. For the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. In Jesus' name. And we commit ourselves to you, Lord. It says, the poor committeth himself unto the Lord. And halfway through Psalm 10, verse 14, thou art the helper of the fatherless. Thank you for being the helper of the fatherless, Lord. Break thou the arm, the strength of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's your land, Lord, one nation under the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the United States in particular, but all the nations, where there are at least two Christians. We thank you, Lord. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Praise the Lord. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. That the man of the earth may no more oppress or terrify in Jesus' name. We bind all those spirits of ungodly fear associated with the nonsense from COVID-19, which was just a mind control game. It was 99.9-something% curable for most of the people. A few, very few people that were much older and had diabetes or some other associated things might have a 10% chance of having a problem from it. But they blew the numbers out of proportion with lying and deception. Father, we ask you to bring all this to light. And we ask you to uncover what's really being done through the so-called vaccine, which is not a vaccine at all, the different various forms of it. And we ask you to deliver us from every plan. And while the enemy, we claim all the benefits of Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We've heard this is just a bioweapon. It may be just a bioweapon. We don't know everything about it. I certainly don't pretend to. You know everything, Lord, and you know what they're trying to do, and we know that our times are in your hands. And you're going to bring us through just fine. Did you bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the burning fiery furnace because they trusted in you? You certainly did. You certainly did. And it is a fiery furnace any more threatening than a little jab or a little a spike protein? I don't think so. And did you take Daniel out of the you close the mouths of the lions? So anything that's trying to harm us, we ask you to close the mouths of those demons in Jesus' name, whatever they are, nanobots or whatever they are, and every attack sent against each one of us, including our hearts and minds, are continually bound. Plead the blood of Jesus over all of our hearts and minds and all those we've interceded for, every eye, every ear, every nose, every mouth, every access to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for your glory, for defense. Thank you for being a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst continually, instantly, immediately. And we give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Lord, for that glory for defense, not just for Pat Holiday, how you delivered her father when she was in a near unavoidable car accident. Her car just ended up on the other side of where the truck went through, and the tire marks stopped where there should have been a collision. We thank you, Lord, for your angels watching over each and every one of us. We claim all the benefits of Psalm 91, Psalm 121, for each and every one of us, continually, instantly, and immediately. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely, without any question, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence, from the raging epidemic. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, we do make the Lord our habitation, because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thank you, Lord. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And thou shalt tread, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample under feet. Satan, you remain perpetually bound in all your little underlings, including every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of trauma, every spirit of stinking thinking, every ungodly spirit of fear, every ungodly spirit of pride, rebellion, every spirit of ungodly mind control, every spirit of love of this world, every lying spirit remain perpetually, continually bound in Jesus' name. And all your little underlings, including Beelzebub, all perpetually bound into the cage in Jesus' name. Father, and for all those within the seat of four, too, into the cage and gags put in their mouth in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for your perfect love that casts out all fear. We give you praise for that, Father. Thank you, Father. You didn't send Jesus as a mistake. No, that was your plan. It's your amazing, extraordinary plan to show us how much you love us. Wow. We love you, Abba. I love you, Jesus. Love you, Holy Ghost. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Praise the Lord. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Not just a long life, a long, satisfied life. And I give you praise and honor and glory for what you have done, are doing, and going to do. And I just heard a testimony I heard many years ago. Oh, he would give us a long, satisfied life. Those that are still just learning. There was something like a 54-year-old woman who had breast cancer, and she didn't want to have the mastectomy. So she was, but she didn't know much about the Word of God for healing. She hadn't, because she grew up in the Baptist Church, and somebody heard about this man who had grew up in the Baptist Church also. But he asked for the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God came, and the Lord actually audibly spoke to him, because he said he was too hard-hearted to get it by this still small voice. He had to actually speak to him audibly. But this man had such faith. And he was asked by a friend of this woman to please go pray for her. She's only been given less than a week to live. Could you just go pray for her? He took his only day off from work, took many hours to fly, and went and spent 4 hours. And what did he do? He shared healing scriptures out of the Word of God to this dear Baptist lady and her husband. And he said at the end of, he said, I have just an hour to make my flight. Have you heard enough of the Word of God to be healed? He said, that woman, with fire in her eyes, looked at him and said, you cast this devil out of me, and I'm going to be healed right now. And this woman had not eaten a thing for 3 weeks. She had tumors all throughout her GI tract. And he cast the demon out of her, anointed her with oil, just like I read in Mark chapter 6, right? Cast the demon out of her, and it left, kind of book. And so her husband and she said, we're going to drive you to the airport. And they did. And she said, I'm going to walk you to the, this was a few years ago, walk you to the, as close as she could get to the terminal or wherever they go through for security or whatever. And she walked up, and she said, you must be 2 weeks, haven't eaten anything, 3 weeks. And she was like 80-something pounds and just skin and bones. She walked up, I said, no, the Lord's healed me, I'm fine. And so they waved goodbye or whatever. And on the way home, she said to her husband, I know a place to have this wonderful shrimp. Let's go get a shrimp dinner. I haven't eaten anything for 3 weeks, and the Lord's healed me. So she went and had a shrimp dinner, and she talked to him the next day, said everything came out just fine. And he saw a photograph of her many months later and said, who is this gorgeous woman? It's a complete woman, completely whole, nothing missing, lacking, or broken. And she was completely whole. And that was the woman that he prayed for that didn't look the same when he prayed for her. 8 months before or whatever. She was filled out from 85 pounds to 130 pounds, completely healthy. So we thank you, Lord. You're no respecter of persons. What you've done for her, you can do for all of us. We thank you for increasing faith. We thank you for the healing scriptures, and we thank you that the simple believers in Mark chapter 6, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't Jesus, it wasn't some special anointed apostle or whatever. It was just ordinary believers that believed your word, that can ask people to repent. They cast out the spirits, anointed with oil, and they were healed. And that's what Demetri Judiman did, too. He just anointed people with oil after he prayed, made sure they repented of their sins, and they got healed. So you're no respecter of persons, Lord, and you're going to do that for me, too. And we thank for that anointing. We thank for the token of the oil, but we also thank especially for your Holy Spirit. That's who does the work. We thank you, Father, for not leaving us as orphans. Thank you for the spirit of adoption that we cry, Abba, Father. We thank you, Father. As we pray in the Spirit, and we pray according to your word, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Delivered from what? Oh, anybody struggling with fear, doubt and unbelief, anybody struggling with, but the doctor said, cancel all the word curses. I don't care what the doctor said. What did Jesus say? What did he say? Said we're already healed to his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Whose stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. We just have to walk in love and walk in the light, walk in the Spirit, and his Spirit does it. His Spirit changes it. He quickens us by his quickening Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is quickening our mortal bodies. And we think of that Spirit that you're pouring forth, Father God, for all the family members of every believer. We thank for waking up the sleeping giant. We thank for the tremendous revival that's going to be happening in this nation, all across the earth, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank for the great revival that was talked about by, I don't remember the name, but the gentleman who put the thing out in 1961 right now, but the Brother Bill sent me awesome testimony. A vision he had twice, a couple nights apart, in July of 1961. And we thank you, Father, that anointing, that liquid light being poured forth on the body of Christ, the liquid light, which represents, I believe, the very presence of God, the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus, the liquid light being poured forth on your body, even now. Thank you for raining down righteousness. In the light of the King's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. We thank you for raining down the cloud of the latter rain. In your presence is fullness of joy. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And what did Moses do? The Israelites looked at this fire. It looked like a devouring fire. And it says Moses walked into the midst of the cloud in Exodus. They saw fire, but Moses walked into the midst of the cloud, and he didn't eat or drink for 40 days. Now, he was in the very presence of God in that cloud, and he was being whatever. The God took care of him. I don't know how he did it. I don't know much. I'm just learning little bits, and I just know that Jesus loves us, and that's the bottom line. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. But what about this? Or what about, well, we bind all those what about spirits in Jesus' name. The yeah, but spirit. We bind all the yeah, but spirits in Jesus' name. And we thank you for delivering us all, Lord. We give you praise and honor and blessing in our prayers and uncovering the wicked plots against the righteous and protecting all of your servants from all the negative side effects from not only the so-called COVID, which is a no great consequence, and any other future fire weapons that want to set out. In Jesus, and no weapon going against the world prosper. But even the side effects of the so-called fire weapons of the vaccine, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for sending your servant with you to make the right choice. Help us all to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Help us to use common sense, but more than that, to use your wisdom to make the right choice. The only way you want each of us to be at the right time, total all of our thoughts and our steps, especially when we are in the midst of our lives. And you went against the Midianites, you know, Judges 7.
My father, we thank you for giving us different languages to learn. We give you first, us, and us.
believer, but even as they even I do not know how to pray. Whatever the natural language is for Indonesia, I don't even know what it's called. Some of them don't know. We thank you for delivering all your service in every language and every area of all of us. We pray for all the saints, the Christians that are being terribly persecuted in Canada. Deliver them all, Lord. We all pray each for one another. Ask to deliver each one. Just call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. And we're praying that every one of them will go in Matthew 18.